I'm alone at work. Where will I run? Where do I go? Tell me, please. My God. Residents of cities across Ukraine were out on the streets within minutes of Russia's military attack on the country. We have to leave our houses. What's going on? As the Ukrainian president declared martial law, some residents queued at ATM machines and gas stations. Martial law, there will be panic. Where would I hide the children? There are no shelters, there is nothing. It's an open space, where will I go? Many dragged suitcases with the intention of leaving the country, while others who've stayed behind took refuge in underground metro stations. Some couldn't agree and decided to flex muscle. But in the end, it's the normal people who don't want war and everyone else who suffers. We want to live in peace, go to work, build our families, develop our country. We just want a peaceful sky over our heads instead of hiding as rats in holes, having no idea what to expect. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Will and Amala Live. It's been an unfortunate day as we've woken up to the news that Russia has indeed invaded Ukraine, and the country is now under attack, and everybody has gone really into a frenzy about this. Commentators from all sides of the aisle coming to bat and saying why they believe this is happening, what our intention should be in this certain conflict, how we should be intervening. And we've heard bits from the White House now about how we are going to come after Russia and sanction them in wake of this attack on Ukraine. And many people are fearful. So we're here to give coverage of this, although I think recognize that we are not your foreign policy experts. So we have brought on Dennis on the show, and we will get into that in a little bit. Any opening comments, Will?
Well, I think when we're talking about foreign policy and all of this, you're going on Twitter right now and you're hearing so many things from so many people. I mean, I'm going on and reading that, you know, now China's going to invade Taiwan, or China's going to invade Northeast India. These things are going to happen. There are secret talks between Russia and China right now about this is all part of their grand scheme, and, you know, what's going to happen in Eastern Europe and the new invasions there. And all of this stuff is just... this whole situation is very murky. I don't think anyone knows what's going to happen. I mean, there were many conservative commentators, many people saying, you know, that Russia was never going to invade Ukraine. And I was, even myself, I felt like I was part of that camp. And now we've seen that they have gone and they have done it. And so what I have to say about this is that, first of all, much of this could have been avoided. Much of this could have been avoided if America looked more powerful on the world stage. That's number one. I mean, with our administration, with our government, with our military, right now, I've read a lot about American history, know a lot about America, and I don't think that America has ever looked weaker to the rest of the world than we look now. And so I think that sanctions are a good move. Many of the ones that are being presented are actually very harsh, and I think many of them are very fair. And let's go over a best-case scenario of what I think is going to happen. Not what I think is going to happen, but if this was a best-case scenario, okay? Ukraine has 40 million people. And so right now, Russia has invaded Ukraine, going through the eastern provinces, all these different places. And so the best-case scenario is that Russia gets in. Maybe Donbass, you know, in Ukraine, that was traditionally Russian. Maybe they do want to be Russian. It's different. But they get into Ukraine. They take over the administration. They basically change the government into a Russian government, to a Russian state. And then the Russian military leaves. And people in Ukraine, for the most part, can go back to their lives without much suffering. That would be the best case scenario. Because right now it seems like, what is Putin doing? No one really knows what Putin's doing. Is he this evil genius that knows exactly the geopolitical moves that he's trying to make as he moves in? Or is he stupid and is going in with no plan and is just trying to do this for no reason? It's hard to tell right now. And that's kind of the whole point, is that a lot of this is hard to tell. You can give the best case scenario of what we would hope would happen, and that'd be the end of it, you know, mm-hmm. and that there's not much suffering and not much bloodshed, more than we've already seen. But again, it's very hard to tell. It's very hard to tell if Putin has any idea what he's doing, or if this is all sort of just his ego coming out and trying to take over Ukraine for God knows why.
Right. And you can get on the internet like I did this morning, and you will see 1,000 different opinions from all different types of people telling you exactly what's happening. And they say it with such confidence. We are not going to be the 1,001 opinion that you hear today. We are learning just as everybody else is with everything that's going on and keeping a watchful eye on it. So I don't think we're going to make any assertions in this. However, we did decide to bring in Dennis Prager to get his view of the situation and sort of what he thought was the driving forces behind this and what was going to happen. Before we get into that interview, though, I want to make sure you guys are watching on the Will and Amala live channel. When we are done with our show today and in the main segments of our show today, we are going to be doing an exclusive Q&A right there with you guys only on the Will and Amala live channel. So you might as well just switch over there now. Go ahead, subscribe, click the notification bell so you're all set up for the Q&A later in the show. Now we're going to get...
I just want to say a couple more things.
Yes,
before we get
it.
Into it. You're talking about opinions and stuff. I have some opinions. Here's what I want to say, okay? When Ronald Reagan took down the Soviet Union, there were people in the American media talking about, you know, Persian missiles and all this kind of stuff and being totally against Ronald Reagan. There were people at the time at the universities, a lot of the baby boomers, were against what Ronald Reagan had done in the Soviet Union, okay? There were a lot of people who were against it. And now, those same types of people work in the Defense Department. Those same types of people work in MSNBC. They work in the major news organizations. They work in defense contracting. And so now all these people who have been praying for war are getting exactly what they want. Okay? And I know you might be hearing things. I mean, I'm talking to people in my family and all sorts of people, and we're hearing all these people talk about World War III, World War III. I'm going to give you my opinion. I don't think that World War III is going to happen because of this. I think that this is going to de-escalate. I think that people are really blowing things out of proportion in a lot of ways in terms of America's involvement, but so much of this could have been prevented. Again, first of all, when it comes to energy, that the energy crisis that is going on in Europe right now is absolutely terrible, and they have treated this as something that, you know, they can do things to Russia and have no consequences. But, you know, I think, what was it, Taylor, you said earlier, Finland gets 90% of their gas from Russia.
Yeah,
right?
It's like 98% or something.
98%. The rest of the European Union gets 35% of their natural gas from Russia. And so, and these people also, these European countries, they don't have militaries really. Right? They expect America to come in and defend them and all these things. And I think that Russia knows that. I think that Russia knows that if they attack any sort of NATO ally, they're going to have to deal with America. I know that Ukraine isn't in NATO. And so it seems like this is going to be it. Again, I can't know for certain. I'm giving you my opinion, reading about it, talking to people, looking at the news. I'm giving you my opinion. I don't think that something is going to happen with China and Taiwan. I mean, they'd have to do this huge aquatic amphibious invasion of this island. These some of these cities in Taiwan have 9 million people in them. Like they're crazy. I don't know how they'd take it over. Or India, I don't see that happening either. So I don't see it, in my opinion, turning into some situation like that. I really don't. But what is clear from all of this is that America looks weak. And that if we want to be a big player on the world stage, we need to strengthen our military and make sure that on the world stage, we look like a force to be reckoned with, and we're not going to be pushed around by people who come and think that they can take advantage of America. America is the one country in the world you should never be able to take advantage of. We are the greatest country in the world with the greatest military, the greatest intelligence, the greatest forces. We are not a force to be reckoned with, but the rest of the world thinks that we are because we have shown up to the table and made ourselves look weak. We've put our cards on the table and shown them that America is silly and we don't care about these things anymore. It's time to bring back a strong America. If we do that, the rest of this can be prevented. Speak softly and carry a big stick. But we've abandoned that, and we've walked softly and carried a matchstick.
Good job, Will.
Thanks, Will. Appreciate it.
No additional opinions from me on this. I'm going to leave it to Dennis Prager, who we had on the show today, for your viewing pleasure and hopefully for your education. Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. I woke up this morning to a news interview being canceled due to war coverage, and I immediately thought, what is going on? Hopped on the internet and found out that Russia had invaded Ukraine. Now, you're hearing thousands of different opinions on this, even among conservative commentators. And I, for one, am no expert in foreign policy. I'm comfortable with admitting that at my ripe age of 21 years old. So we decided to bring on the show today Dennis Prager to give us a handle on this situation. Dennis, at baseline, most people are hopping onto the internet and seeing this, and they're very confused. What is going on?
Nobody knows for certain. You're not asking, obviously, what is going on in Ukraine. What is going on? Why did Russia invade Ukraine? I think that's right. What you're asking. Is that correct?
Right. Yes.
To a certain extent, you asked the right guy. I am of the ripe old age, number one. Number two, and far more important, that's my field. I speak Russian. I studied Soviet Union as my major at graduate school. So even with all of that, I don't guarantee that my analysis is accurate. I can't read minds. However, I think that there is one overriding reason for the invasion, and that is Vladimir Putin's desire to reconstitute the Russian Empire. And tangentially the Soviet Union, both of which owned Ukraine. The greater Russia is his ambition. He feels humiliated after the Cold War. He was a KGB, that's the Soviet secret police. He was a KGB officer. He feels humiliated as a Russian as to what happened to Russia, going from world power feared by every nation as the Soviet Union to a second-rate or third-rate European, almost poor country after the Cold War. So in light of that, I think he wants to reassemble the Russian Empire, and I believe that that's the primary reason. Other experts believe that historic Russian paranoia about being invaded is the issue, and the need for buffer zones all around Russia. And they were what happened when Napoleon invaded in the 19th century and Hitler in the 20th, on the unspeakable suffering and mass death among Russians, has had a permanent effect on their psyche. I don't buy that, however. I buy that it has a permanent effect on their psyche. I don't buy that that's the primary reason, because you have to be really, really paranoid in a psychopathological sense to think Ukraine will invade Russia, or Hungary will invade Russia, or Poland, or Latvia, or Estonia, or Lithuania. I mean, those are just a few of the places bordering Russia. It would be like saying Honduras will invade the United States. Now, of course, we don't have a history of being invaded. I fully acknowledge that. But I don't believe that. I think it's a factor, but I think the primary yearning is to reconstitute the Russian Empire and the Soviet Union. Having said that, I know I'm giving you a long answer, so forgive me. But you asked a big question. Having said all of that, I don't understand what his thinking is any more than you do. Is he going to really digest Ukraine, a country of 40 million people, 35 million of whom hate Russia? Hard to believe.
Yeah, I mean, in World War II, when the Russians went through Ukraine, they killed 7 million people. It was absolutely a bloodbath in Ukraine. It was one of the bloodiest places during the war. And so many of the people in Ukraine really have no love for Russia. When we were talking about the historical borders and things like that when it comes to Russia and Ukraine and all of this, do you think that NATO has any role to play with this, with NATO's expansion moving more east and Russia feeling cornered because of what NATO has really done?
Yeah, I think that's a legitimate question, because people ask, well, what if Mexico had Russian arms? Right. So there is some validity to that, but nobody was really seriously considering Ukraine for NATO. But it's also a bit bizarre. Because if Russia were France or Germany or the United Kingdom, we wouldn't give a damn if Mexico had their arms. Because nobody in America fears an English or French invasion of the United States. So you have to accept the premise that NATO arms threaten Russia. They don't threaten Russia. Russia threatens NATO. There is a one-way threat. Who have Western democracies ever invaded? I'm not a big fan of the German government. I'm not a big fan of a lot of the European governments. But, I mean, let's put this in perspective. Democracies don't invade non-democracies. In all of the history of modern wars, every war has been between a police state and a free state or two police states. There are no wars between free states.
Right. When you see, when you look at, let me ask you this. That's something that they might be feeling. With NATO, I mean, most of the countries in Europe won't even pay the 2% that, you know, they agreed to pay. You have Poland that's paying 2%, but most of the other ones aren't paying this 2% that they're supposed to pay. Do you think that makes Russia feel threatened when NATO essentially is really just the United States in many ways? We're the ones that are held accountable for defending all these countries who won't even defend themselves or even pay the amount that they're supposed to pay?
Yeah. It's a rhetorical question, Will, and it's a perfectly legitimate one. The thought that I'm going to really worry about France or Germany today. I mean, Germany, yes, Germany in the 20th century was obviously a terrible threat. Germany today, they wouldn't, I'm not sure they would fight if they were invaded. Right. That's a basically right. pacifist country. So that's why I say, and you're saying the same thing. I mean, let's be real. Who should fear whom? Latvia should fear Russia, or Russia should fear a Latvia in NATO? Which one?
I'm curious here, Dennis, because a lot of people are speculating on the internet about what the proper course of action is as far as the United States and our intervention goes. Is there anything that you advocate for in this current situation?
This is the most painful question because I think this could have been avoided if the United States had enabled Europe to get much of their energy from us, which was going to happen and happening under Donald Trump when we went from dependent on others for oil and other and natural gas and to becoming completely independent and having a surplus to give to others. That was turned around literally the first day Joe Biden was president. The first thing he did was cancel the pipeline that we had promised Canada, the XL pipeline. And for no reason, for no good reason. By the way, for your viewers, there's a great video on the pipeline, a 5-minute video on how utterly safe it is. So to a large extent, I do believe that the environmentalist lobby made this invasion possible. And it's not conspiratorial. They're not for the invasion. But they made it possible because Putin thought, how much sanctions are they going to really put on me if they depend on me, especially Germany, the richest country in Europe, or at least on the continent, how much pressure will they really put on me if they get most of their energy from me, which shouldn't have ever happened? They should have gotten it from America.
Right. No, I mean, Europe is getting 35% of its natural gas from Russia. And then Germany shut down 3 nuclear power plants. They're planning on shutting down 3 more in 2022. They obviously, and they're shutting down a lot of the coal power plants in Europe too. So they are completely dependent on Russia. You know, exactly what you were saying. This isn't any sort of conspiracy theory with the environmental lobby. And it seems to me like the environmental lobby is working hand in hand with the mainstream media, with all of these people talking about this warmongering. I mean, in my opinion, Dennis, you can tell me what you think, but I think in no way should we be sending American troops over to Ukraine right now. We don't know exactly what's going to happen. We have no idea. But to me, it seems like this is not the time and not the time for America to step in.
I don't think anybody, conservative or liberal, is for sending U.S. troops. But we could have prevented it if America were perceived as strong as it has been since the Cold War. But under the democratic leadership, the country's military is much weaker and is perceived as such by our enemies. Just the fact that, I mean, there's no offense against the individual, but a transgender admiral does not induce fear. on the part of our enemies. It makes us look like we are more interested in woke than we are in power, or the evil, I have to use that word, of dismissing from the armed forces thousands of terrific individuals from the Marines to the Air Force for not being vaccinated. I mean, this is not a serious threat to the world. And there is a very important rule of life. Weakness invites bullies. That's true on the on the playground of your kids' elementary school, and it is true in the world.
Yeah, it's exactly right. I mean, you think our allies in Taiwan are looking at Blinken or Jake Sullivan or any of these people and thinking they have a strong backing behind them? I really don't think so. And then, you know, exactly what you're talking about with the military, it might be somewhat a good thing that, you know, I'm unvaccinated, which means I probably can't get drafted. So there are silver linings to many of these.
Oh, that is a riot. Yeah, me too. I'm not vaccinated and can't get drafted. Exactly. I didn't think of that.
Exactly. Dennis, we're going.
Yeah, you and I. Well, that's exactly right. What about Amal?
Unvaccinated, and I've had a surgery that disqualifies me, so I'm good. Even though they want to throw us women in there, I think I'm fine.
There you go. Well, your BLM tattoo might help you get in.
Oh, honestly, they might overlook everything just because of that.
Exactly.
Well, Dennis, thank you so much for coming on and giving us some clarity and a laugh with this, because I think not many people have that ability.
I love you guys, and everybody knows that.
Oh, thank you, Dennis.
We love you, Dennis, too. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
It's nice to have somebody to go to for wisdom in a time like this, and Dennis is certainly that person. So thank you again, Dennis, for being on. I'm sure he's had quite a busy day with his show, and everybody looks to him for commentary. So let's get into some more of the serious videos surrounding this current conflict with Ukraine and Russia. Here's a video that's been circulating throughout the internet today, has 8.3 million views. This is a father leaving his family to serve his country in Ukraine. Okay, let's pause there. It's an unfortunate thing to see things like this and just to know the reality of what it means, but I think it's what it means to go to war, and I think it's important to see this, because a lot of people sort of sit in their armchair commentators and have no idea what the true implications of the things they say or the things that they advocate for are, and these are the true implications. It is fathers leaving families. It is not knowing what to do with your kids. It is being worried about not only the future of your family, but the future of your country, and it would be easy to sit here and speculate over what people should do and how our country should get involved and what other countries should do and what's evil and what's good, but this is the reality for people, and it's a split-second decision that you have to make for your family and your country.
No, exactly. And all the politicians, you got Bill Kristol, all these types of guys, these neocons, war hawks, warmongers, people in defense contracting, all want to come on and say, we got to go to war. We got to go to war. Mm-hmm. We got to be in Afghanistan forever. We got to be in the Middle East forever. We got to be all over the world forever. And it's like, well, you send your sons then. You send your sons and daughters to go and die then. Or you go and fight yourself, right? But none of these people are going to do that. They don't do that. Right. War has real consequences where real people die. But these people don't care about those types of consequences, people who push this kind of stuff onto us.
Yeah, and you know, I saw somebody tweet out today, you know, I forget what his name was, I wish I remembered, but saying, I would never advocate for a war that I would not myself be willing to sign up and go fight in. And that's something that people should think about when they hop on and go, well, immediately we need to hop into this conflict and we need to go into Ukraine and we need to put ourselves as, you know, this big player in what could be an ensuing war. You never think about the fathers that have to leave their children to go and fight. You don't think about the families that are torn apart. You don't think about having to make these split second decisions about what to do with not only your life, but the lives of those around you in your community. And that's what war is like. So it's so easy to sit from where we sit and go, absolutely, this is what we need to do. We need to go and fight. We need to go in battle. We need to go put our sons and daughters now in this fight. Just think about it.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what European powers, you know, they're going to talk about, we need America to come and help us and be these people. And it's like, why? Why? I don't get it. I don't get why America has to come and foot the bill for all of these other people. Why America has to be this. This is something that, you know, I think PragerU in some ways would disagree with me on, Dennis and things. But, you know, this is just my opinion, that I don't know that America needs to be this world police in these types of conflicts. Right. I don't know why, if these other countries in Europe aren't paying their 2% for NATO, why we are still in this horrible deal and why we are not energy independent. We should be energy independent and have these other countries. They should be having to take care of themselves in most ways.
Right.
Right? There is a legitimate threat when it was World War II and there is good versus evil that you are fighting for and things like that. But when you're just getting pulled into wars and this war hawk propaganda, I mean, I don't know why we're getting involved in all these things. Again, just like you said, these things have real consequences that for years and years, paleocons have been right about all this stuff.
Yeah.
Been right about all this stuff, you know, and now it's coming and kicking us in the face.
And we're very detached from it. I mean, almost, I think, thank goodness for the presence of social media in this time, so that you can see and sort of be a little bit more connected to the things that you're saying. Because I think in a different day and age, people would have just been able to say, oh yeah, let's go to war, and you never see an ounce of what's actually happening to the people on the ground there. Now you are somewhat inundated with it, but you do get a good look of what actual war looks like. I mean, videos this morning out of neighborhoods in Ukraine where little children are seeing fighter planes come and drop missiles in their neighborhoods. It's an insane thing to see, but it attaches you to the things that you choose to commentate on and the things that you choose to advocate for. So you can see the real world effects of the things that you're saying and the words that you put out into the world.
Yeah, 100%. And what are some of the words that we're hearing right now? Oh, well, they're blaming this crisis on conservatives. They're blaming this crisis on people like Tucker Carlson, like people like me, like people like Pedro Gonzalez. They're talking about us and saying, oh, we're shills for Putin. We want Putin to win this whole thing. That's what they're saying. And that this whole crisis came about because of conservative voices, right? You tweeted that thing this morning, Amala.
Yeah,
about
I'll find it.
Cenk Uygur coming on and talking about, you know, people like me love Putin because he's a white nationalist.
Yeah, like, here's his tweet here. The guy from Young Turks. Right wing doesn't love Putin just because he's an authoritarian, tyrannical leader. They love him because he is a white authoritarian leader. Race has become more important than even nationality. They've turned on democracy and now even America in favor of a white warlord. And thank goodness he was ratioed to hell for this statement by people who are liberal and conservative. It's such a ridiculous statement.
Right. Listen, I might get some flack for this, but there are parts of America where it's pretty terrible right now with mandates and leftism and what they've done. And a lot of people in the mainstream media, the left, they hate Putin because Putin and Russia, it's a Christian Orthodox nationalist society. And they hate that. They hate people being proud of their nation. They hate that. So as soon as we come on and say, hey, maybe we question what's going on in this region a little bit. We don't know what's happening, right? Like, is this really their land? Whatever. Then they say, oh, we're shills for Putin. And then we are these white nationalist types of people. But it's all ridiculous. All of it's ridiculous. You know, the fact that I can see something in Russia and say, yes, they're a proud people. They're proud of their nation. They are a Christian nation doing a lot of things that America is not doing, and say that, you know, not all of that is so terrible. Then, of course, you're this shill for Putin and you want him to go and invade Ukraine and kill people. Of course not. It's a ridiculous comparison to make.
And there's so much deviation among all conservatives on this issue and what we should and should not do. Just go on any social media platform and scroll for a couple minutes and look at all the different commentators that you listen to. They disagree on several points on how we should be involved in this. And it goes to show that maybe the information that we have surrounding the geopolitical issues in this country is not clear as day. Maybe there's blurred lines here. Maybe we're getting faulty information, and maybe we are getting that faulty information with an agenda. I won't go into the current administration's different tie-ins with everything that's happening right now, but you should question everything. And that's why I'm very, very hesitant and will continue to be very hesitant to make any statements on how this should go, because clearly we are not getting truthful information. We have not been getting truthful information for years. So who is to say that we're getting it now?
Yeah. Yeah,
it's all that I'm saying.
I'm fine with making some predictions. I'm not going to say that everything I say is going to happen, because we always look for best case scenarios, and then some person in the media says something, triggers another event, and then that happens. But I will tell you, at the level of care that the mainstream media and NBC, MSNBC, CP, any of these people, the big deal that they're making about this Russia-Ukraine crisis and what's happening there versus making no big deal whatsoever about what's happening in Canada with people's bank accounts being frozen, mm-hmm. democracy being destroyed in Canada, martial law being employed in Canada, how they say not a peep about anything like that, I think tells you a lot. It tells you a lot, okay? Because Canada is supposed to be this democracy. Oh, Canada loves Black Lives Matter. Canada has pride parades. It's a great place to be, right? So when they sanction their own citizens, that's fine. But as soon as you have someone in Russia who is this nationalist Christian, this type of no love for Putin, but this is what their nation really represents, then of course it's this horrible thing, and the mainstream media all has to come out in arms against it. So it just goes to show you what the priorities of the media are and how they have turned people into thinking that this is this World War III scenario, and that American people should go and die for it, and that America is supposed to be all over Europe defending this. I mean, to me, it seems very obvious what is going on, what has led to this point, what is going to happen. No one knows.
I have no speculation on what is going to happen. I do have some extra videos out of St. Petersburg in Moscow, as Russian citizens are not happy with the current invasion of Ukraine. Here are some anti-war protests that are happening in Russia. That's thousands of people congregated in St. Petersburg. Here is a video out of Moscow. And the police going to stop these protests. And St. Petersburg is the birthplace of Vladimir Putin. So it goes to show you that even the people from his own birth city are not too happy with the actions that he's taken against Ukraine. And there's clearly a significant amount of divide within Russia's own country. So what is going on, and what's going to happen?
St. Petersburg is the most beautiful place in Russia. Do you know why?
No, why?
It's built by Christians. It's the best architecture, the best way of life in Russia is in St. Petersburg, and it's a different type of culture.
Just a fun fact for you guys. Beautiful.
But yes, St. Petersburg, beautiful, beautiful place. Versus you go to Moscow, oh my goodness, it's just sadness.
So we also have one more act of protest here. Alina Kovalskaya, I hope I pronounced her name right, the director of Moscow's State Theater and Cultural Center, has announced her resignation in protest against the invasion of Ukraine, stating, "It's impossible to work for a murderer and collect a salary from him," she writes, and she wrote this publicly. Curious to see what happens to this young woman after posting that. I imagine not anything good. But very, very brave act to say, you know, I'm against the way that this government is responding to the current geopolitical issues, and I'm going to resign because I don't want to get a salary from people who are willing to do this to other people. So very brave to post that publicly, and good for you, Alina. What was that?
Everyone, make sure that you hit the like button right now. If you're watching right now, we got a lot of people who are watching, who might be new viewers. Make sure you hit the like button, you're subscribed to our show. You can always catch our show as well on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, any of the other places. If you can't watch it here on YouTube or Facebook, you can always listen to it. And make sure that you're sticking around right now in the comments. You can be asking questions, because after we talk about this, we're going to be going into a Q&A session, not just on the Ukraine-Russia conflict or any of my populist beliefs, but just on anything you guys want to know about or talk about. We're going to be doing a Q&A, but that is going to be exclusively on the Will and Amala a channel on our YouTube and our Facebook still too, right? Still be on the Facebook, Taylor?
No, just on the new Will and Amala Live YouTube channel.
Oh, okay,
so I posted the link everywhere. It's pinned in the comments of each stream everywhere we're at. So make sure you come over to the Will and Amala Live YouTube channel to get the exclusive Q&A.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Now, I don't even know how to segue into this next one, but you know, celebrities like to hop in and talk about different issues that are happening and put their own little spin on how we respond to these things. A woman by the name of Anna Lynn McCord made a poem that she addressed to President Vladimir Putin. This poem, this video has now amassed 7.8 million views since it was posted earlier today. And here's what she had to say to Mr. Vladimir Putin.
Dear President Vladimir Putin, I'm so sorry that I was not your mother. If I was your mother, you would have been so loved, held in the arms of joyous light. Never would the story's plight, the world unfurled before our eyes, a pure demise of nations sitting peaceful under a night sky. If I was your mother, the world would have been warm. So much laughter and joy, and nothing would harm. I can't imagine the stain, the soul-stealing pain that the little boy you must have seen and believed, and the formulation of thought quickly taught that you lived in a cruel, unjust world. Is this why you now decide no one will get the best of you? Is this why you do not hide nor away shy from taking back the world? Was it because so early in life, all that strife wrapped your little body with fear?
Do we have to watch more?
No, please not. Okay. Please make it stop.
That's
please.
1 minute into the 2.5 minute poem. Again, this woman was ratioed hard for posting this during this time.
7.8 million views just today.
7.8 million views just today. It's been hours since this was posted.
Everything can be solved with love.
It's very Freudian, you know? A guy goes and bombs and sends missiles to another country. It must be mommy issues.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Right, right.
Very, very Freudian.
Yes, not a very good analysis on this.
No. But no. Yet so confident. It's mm-hmm. the confidence for me.
Right. She live in L.A.? She must live
probably.
In L.A.
Probably.
Because only that
her crystals told her to do this today.
Yeah, exactly. My tarot cards told me that this is what I was supposed to do today.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is all. You can only have this type of thinking in a very leftist, insulated place where you've never had a problem to deal with in your life.
Yeah, I don't know. Her bio says actress, human rights activist, founder, The Love Storm. So that makes sense. Anti-human trafficking ambassador. So she's doing some good things. I could see where... I'm trying to like give grace. I could see where somebody could see what's happening right now and go, you know what? I'm going to make this compassionate plea to say I would, you know, that love is the problem in this situation. And that's the heart of all evil and all this stuff. But it's just, it was a hit and a miss.
Listen, everybody can admit that love is a great thing. You know, we should be all, everyone should, love is awesome, right?
Yeah.
We're all, love is great.
Love is
but
great.
But this isn't. It's you're just putting it. You're putting it on the wrong thing.
It was not
you're
the time, Anna Lynn.
It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it just didn't make any sense.
I'm just waiting for the celebrities compilation singing Imagine video that is going to solve this whole thing. Has anyone tried sending Putin one of those? Maybe.
Right, right. We need Mark Ruffalo to tell us all about how we just need to do the right thing. Just do the right thing.
Has John Cena sent a message in Chinese yet?
Gosh. Oh, she's the actress from 90210.
That show was
watched 90210. But yeah, that's why it's trending. 90210 is trending because of this.
Okay,
because of this poem. Because of this beautiful poem.
Got it.
Last one here. CNN did not check the commercials that they were putting after coverage of the Ukraine in their air raid signals. Here's this video.
And a little bit of chicken.
Gosh. I don't even want to. It's just like, oh, come on, guys. A little bit of diligence. A little bit of due diligence here before you pair these two things together. So bad. But, oh, gosh. I'm just going to shut my mouth. I don't want to say anything.
Listen, Applebee's isn't even good. If you're going to choose one of these, you go to Chili's, first
definitely
of all.
Definitely play the Chili's commercial.
It was a Chili's commercial. Forgiven.
A little bit more grace.
But
there,
Applebee's,
yeah.
Come on. We all know Applebee's is terrible. Okay?
I do advocate that everything can be laughed at. It's just, oh my gosh, it's a little different.
The absurdity. The absurdity.
The absurdity.
Right?
The absurdity.
You know.
Anyways, any more Ukraine-Russia thoughts before we move on to normal content? Because I'm sure you guys are at a lack of normal content today.
Again, what everyone, in my opinion, again, My humble opinion. Okay. Mm. What everyone should do in this moment, if you live in America, it's America first. Okay. You're thinking of America first. That is what we should be doing. That we don't have to be, you know, in terms of all this other stuff going on, be involved with every single of our tentacles involved everywhere around the world. We don't know what's going to happen. Let's all cool our jets. It seems like the sanctions are going to do what we intend them to do. They're pretty harsh. And I say we just got to wait for a little bit. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. But just in everything, at least for me, putting America first. And Netherlands second.
Slow down, ladies and gentlemen. So we'll remain covering this on Will and I'm Alive as the stories permit and as they become important. And keep you guys as informed as we are. And yeah, so we'll keep you guys posted on that. Now we're going to move on to normal content. Guys, we put out a vlog today where we talked about...
Impeccable timing with the releasing this vlog today, by the way.
Right, right. This was the date of release that was set for this vlog. Don't worry, guys. We've seen the comments of why is this being released instead of talking about Ukraine and Russia. Totally get it.
That's what the show is for.
We totally get it. It is what the show is for. The show is for current events. We made this vlog weeks ago. It was just set to come out today. Anyways, okay, guys, here's our vlog with Chef Andrew Gruhl, the owner and founder of Slapfish, talking COVID-19, inflation, the great resignation, the supply chain crisis for your viewing pleasure.
Welcome to Slapfish. This is our dishwasher, and I am your sous chef.
Orders are coming in.
Oh! Orders are coming in.
Orders are coming in. You feel the heat?
If I were to start Slapfish today, I would be facing so many different regulations that I don't think that I would be able to do it.
Just another day in the office, guys.
Hi, guys. We are back with another vlog. We are headed to Huntington Beach to see who will.
Andrew Gruhl, going to his restaurant Slapfish. He's a great guy, excellent chef, and he has been canceled for his views on businesses during the COVID pandemic.
And we're going to find that I'm a better chef than Will. So come along.
Better cook, maybe, but I'm a chef.
My name is Andrew Gruhl. I'm the founder and owner of Slapfish Restaurant Group, as well as Two Birds Chicken and Big Parm Pizza, a couple other little joints. Slapfish, where we're standing right now, it's a concept devoted to high-quality seafood in a fast, casual environment. As the pandemic started, I wanted to speak out about some of the insane policies that were hurting restaurants and hurting restaurant workers, and suddenly I became the enemy of everybody. But we've held true, and we're going to continue to be a small business that promotes liberty, freedom, really good food, and sustainable practices.
All right, what's up, guys? We're here with Andrew Gruhl, founder of Slapfish here in Huntington Beach. Thanks for having us, man.
Hey, thank you for coming in.
We're going to be talking about the supply chain today, as well as the COVID lockdowns, which you were a big part of. You might recognize his face from Fox News or any other news media outlet where he was fighting for restaurants and small businesses here in the United States. We're going to talk that. We're going to talk inflation. We're going to talk the Great Resignation and just how that has affected you. But first...
And cheese with lobster.
Cheese with lobster.
That's a big one.
That's the biggest contention. Yeah,
pineapple pizza. The real important issues. Yeah. Yeah. But first, guys, we're going to cook and see who's a better chef among the two of us.
I mean, listen, even though she's a woman, I'm a better chef. I promise.
We'll see about that. What are we going to be cooking today?
We're going to cook the lobsters first. Now, if you want to cook them and not torture them, give them their vaccine right now. We'll put them right into the boiling water.
Swift executioner.
We got the lobster going. Let's talk meat. I do what's called a reverse sear. So actually start these in a low temp oven, really low and slow, and then sear at the end as opposed to the beginning. The goal is to get a really nice crust in a shorter period of time. So what I'm doing is I'm basically neutering meat.
Just like America's neutered its men. I mean, that's...
Now we've got two cuts of meat here, right? The eye of the ribeye here. And then this right here is Japanese A5 Wagyu.
This is what everybody's talking about. All right, guys.
This is what everybody's talking
about.
That
is what everybody's talking about. They're also talking about how tall they think I am in the comments. I'm watching it, guys. Trust me, I'm really not that tall. I'm really not that tall. We'll get to that, though. Guys, if you're watching on the PragerU channel right now, we are going to switch over to Will and Amala Live for an extended Q&A after today's show. And you guys can go live comment your questions there, and Will and I and Taylor will respond to them. So we got to say bye-bye to the PragerU watchers.
Real quick, I'm going to drop the link. Well, the link to the full vlog if you want to watch the rest of what we were just watching. Check the link is in the description of the video today on every platform.
Perfection.
So go check that out.
Perfection. So if you actually want to see how the food turns out or whether or not I'm wearing heels, according to the comments, you can go and watch the vlog. It's in the description down below as well. Okay. Bye-bye, PragerU people. We're going to Will and Amala.
Okay. And then on the, it's pinned in every chat, so we're saying bye now, and then head over to the Will and Amala Live YouTube channel right now, and we'll see you to continue Q&A.
Alrighty-roo, guys. Hi, Will and Amala Live viewers. You guys are dedicated, you're loyal. Thank
you
for being
here.
I'm not
short. Why is everyone in the comments saying I'm short?
Will, how tall are you?
I'm tall enough. I'm perfectly fine.
Notice that we didn't get an answer there.
No,
no, Will's not that short.
I'm 5 foot nine.
I don't know how, 5 foot seven, 5 foot eight? So, and I wear heels all the time. I'm wearing them now. So I'm always taller than I actually am. So, yeah, 5 foot seven, 5 foot eight, for those of you who are asking.
All right, okay. We ready for some questions?
Yes.
Okay. This is, let's see. I mean, I guess we can start. Well, I'm just going to go right through them. And if they happen to be lighthearted, they happen to be lighthearted. If they happen to be heavy, they'll be heavy. So,
okay.
Here we go. My question is, this is from Gabriella Sarah. My question is, how did it feel coming to PragerU from previous jobs and what jobs?
You want to start, Will, or you want me to start?
I was working at Turning Point USA, actually. And Turning Point USA was a great organization. I liked working with them and doing, I was a field director for them. I've been working since I was 14. I've been working for a long time doing all sorts of different jobs. But PragerU is the best job I ever had.
All right. Well, I've been working since I was 15 years old. So at 15 years old, I started working for a traveling pizza company out in Florida. So we go around to different concert venues, art festivals, things like that. And I used to make pizza. I worked the front. I worked the pizza oven. I made the pizzas. I did everything at that job. So I did that for a few years. And then when I graduated high school, I started working for my mother's organization. Well, she didn't found the organization, but the organization that she was working for as a leftist youth organizer, traveling around to different middle schools and high schools and indoctrinating young people. Woohoo. Did that for around a year, left that job and started working in medicine at an allergy, asthma, COPD and immunology clinic. So I was doing allergy tests, giving shots, administering different asthma tests and COPD checks on patients. Did that for a couple years, I want to say, and then PragerU found me and hired me. So that's how I got here. And out of all my favorite jobs, sorry, Dr. Cook, I did love working for you, but PragerU is my favorite. Okay.
Very sweet. All right. Claire asks, what current events do y'all think we should be most concerned about right now? I mean, quite a day to ask that question. But.
Right, but I don't think that even that is the thing that everyone should be as concerned about. I think it's being blown up in the media. The World War III hype scenario, I don't think that it's something that a normal American, they should know about it, they should be informed about it, but I don't think it's what people are really saying it is. I mean, when it comes to me, I mean, I think that it has to do, I mean, looking at Europe specifically, it's their digital passport and what they're doing with that and how they want to implement that. Have your wallet on your phone and your passport on your phone, your currency on your phone, vaccine status on your phone. I think that's a huge deal. And then also anything that has to do with transhumanism, which has to deal with the Neuralink, with human computer bionics, these type of stuff. I think that is incredibly worrying. And I don't think most people are talking about it. I don't even really get to talk about it too much on this show. But I think that that is a fight that is going to be happening and coming up very soon. I mean, Elon Musk said that they'll be able to have the brain chips by fall of this year. So I think that's something that people should really look into. If you don't know who Joe Allen is, everyone should look up Joe Allen and see his writings and speeches.
As far as I'm concerned, somewhat in the same vein, World Economic Forum, Great Reset stuff, it seems to be the most concerning thing for me, I think. But it's sort of an all-encompassing sort of thing to be worried about because it affects so many different countries and so many different social issues pop up as avenues for getting the Great Reset into play and getting the vision of the World Economic Forum to come to fruition. But that is what I am most worried about. I think on the show yesterday we talked about Canadian digital wallets and how digital ID and just digital encompassing of everything that you are and all of your identification is coming soon. So greatly concerning as far as that pertains to government overreach. Taylor, do you have one that's most concerning?
I do, but I would need to think about it, and I have too many questions.
Okay.
I think next time we need to figure out some upvoting system or something, because they're coming in hot.
Fair enough.
And anyway, I'm trying to keep up. Spencer's helping me keep up. But yeah, if you guys see any you want to answer directly, just go for it. But
perfect.
I do have someone asked, Will, can you give a quick rundown of the contents of your shelf behind you?
Good question.
Man, I don't even remember. And what can be seen? I'm not sure exactly.
Everything
what can be seen.
To the left of the In-N-Out.
Uncle Ben's rice. It was canceled. This is kind of like a little canceled shelf. So Uncle Ben's rice. We got Goya beans. We got the Cleveland Indians thing. What is that? Mustard thing? In-N-Out for them. And then Woca-Cola, which is kind of a copy of Coca-Cola, but Woca-Cola that we did for like a skit that we did.
Yeah, people get mad all the time about that Coca-Cola bottle because they're like, why do you have Coca-Cola?
I know, it's
Woca-Cola. We made a skit called Woca-Cola. I can post a link. And it's really funny. Go watch it on the website.
Yeah.
But anyways.
So. And then I got my book and a cigar. And that's
perfect.
About it.
Right.
Good stuff. All right.
And Amala, that's a beautiful plant you got behind you. Yes. I'm just kidding. The doll.
I've got plants. I've got this doll. Oh. Which was made by a beautiful viewer by the name of Katie, young 14-year-old girl who watches the show every day. Thank you so much, Katie. And then we got books, The Road to Americanism, Discrimination and Disparities, which is one of my favorite books, written by Tom Sowell, and Moral Politics, which breaks down issues based on how liberals view them, leftists view them, and conservatives view them. And then I've got my little Will and Amala thing. And this picture of Zuby Music's face photoshopped onto Will's face that we used for a skit, and it, for some reason, is still on the shelf. So if you guys want to look up that episode of me interviewing Zuby Music for about an hour or so, you can go and check that out.
We have so many random like Indian headdresses and George Washington costumes from right. skits and stuff we've done. So there's a Fauci doll behind Will that you can't see. So anyway, fun times. What else we got here? Will, how do you, this is James Brooks asks, how can we project the power that you said we should earlier, but not stand up for targets of bullies and authoritarians in the world?
You might have to say the question again. What
sure,
exactly
I'll repeat it. Will, how can we project the power that you said we should earlier, but not stand up for the targets of bullies and authoritarians in the world?
Do you understand the question? I don't know if I understand.
I think so. I think he's basically saying, you know, we should project power as America, and have weakness invites bullies, like Dennis said.
Uh-huh.
And how do we do that if we're not going to intervene when against the bullies and authoritarians of the world when they're aggressing? Like
okay, got it. By having an America First agenda that is strong about America First. Okay, you first of all you strengthen your southern border. I mean, this is what many people would say is an impeachable offense. What has happened at our southern border? You make sure that your economy is strong and that you are independent from other nations. You have a strong military that doesn't deal with wokeness and virtue signaling and victimization. And you do these things and you become a country that can be dependent on itself, and you don't need the rest of the world. I mean, you obviously depend on some things, but we're not this globalization. The globalization is what will kill our society. You need to have a nationalist society, a patriotic society that believes in the same values. What brings your country together? Values, okay? You can have a melting pot in some ways of people, but there's nothing good about diversity in a country if you guys don't all have the same values. A country should be a country built on values. Okay, and so when you do that, and you have a strong economy, a strong border, and you make your own goods, then you're going to stand up tall and have a good military. You're going to stand up tall to these adversaries. Okay, it's on a bigger level. It's on a bigger level than just, you know, I guess, I don't know if he was talking about individuals or what America can do in general, but in terms of what America can do in general, that's what America needs to do. And that's what they need to do. They need to have election integrity as well, so we make sure that all this is fair. And if we do that, then we can look strong on the world stage. But right now we look weak because we let everyone take advantage of us. We let anyone come into our country. We depend on all these other people for our energy. We get involved in things we shouldn't be getting involved in. We get goods from China all over the world and send our factories overseas. So there's a lot of problems that makes us look weak, and our military sucks. There's a lot of problems that make us look weak, and if we want to be strong, then we have to be strong. You have to strengthen all these things. And when I say military sucks, I mean the generals and the wokeness that they're pushing in, the brave men who are fighting, men and women who are fighting in right now in our military are amazing people. God bless you. But what they've done to the military to neuter it is disgusting and terrible.
Amala, any thoughts there? Or
I struggle back and forth with the question of, does America need to be the world police? And I think I fall on the side of no, I don't think we do. And a lot of the basis for why I believe that is just the message of the founding fathers. And it seems like they were right about so much in the vision that they had for America. And George Washington, as he left office, was very adamant about the fact that we should not be engaged in foreign affairs and foreign intervention, and that was really pivotal to how we ran as a country and how we ran successfully as a republic. So that's something that I sort of lean on as a baseline for my views when it comes to foreign policy. But again, not something that I have given enough thought to or enough study to actually give you a definitive view of what I think should be the case for our country.
I want to answer a question that I saw in here.
All right.
Someone said, Eric Vobe, I don't know if that's how you say your last name, but he said, be careful with nationalism. It got Germany and the world into trouble in the 30s. That is different than the nationalism that I am talking about. I think that because of World War II, you had World War II and Hitler was, a lot of the Nazi regime was based on nationalism, white supremacy, whatever, all that kind of stuff that was bad when it came to white supremacy and all that, of course. And so the world, when the baby boomers saw that, the world transformed into essentially saying, no, you can't be nationalist. We need to be all woke. We need to have social justice. Everything has to be about victimhood and all this. And because of that, patriarchy, you know, we have to destroy the patriarchy because, again, Germany was a very patriarchal society. And because of that, we have to destroy it. And now people come out in the strong other side and say, oh, nationalism is this terrible thing. No one should be nationalist. If you are a nationalist, then you're probably Hitler reincarnated. No, that's just not true. You can be a nationalist and be proud of your country, love your country, love what your country's doing and what your country was founded on. But these people want to shame you for it. If you are in, again, another example, if you are in the Netherlands and you want to be proud of being Dutch, you should be able to be proud of being Dutch. If you're someone in Spain, you want to be proud of being Spanish. You should be able to be proud of being Spanish. And that's fine for any country. You know, if you're from Uganda and you want to be proud for being Uganda, the left says, oh, that's the best thing. You should be proud for being Ugandan. But as soon as you want to say, oh, I'm proud for being English, which is a white country and found historically white country, then, you know, that's racist. So there's a double standard. And I think that everyone should be proud of their heritage and their country's history and everything their country went through. It doesn't lead to Nazism every single time you're proud of your country. That's a leftist talking point. It's just not true.
All right. So I'm gonna deviate from some of the more loaded questions mm-hmm. and get a few more, hopefully, faster ones in from the audience. Not that we're doing that. I think this is all great discussion, but I'm like, man, we need to unpack this more. But anyways, Barack Islama, which I don't know if that's your real name.
Doubt it.
Yeah. Asks, are you guys hiring in any way, shape, or form in any position? I'd love to join the PragerU community.
Oh, you asked the right question, Barack Islama. We are constantly hiring and we have multiple positions that are open and up for taking. If you go to PragerU.com
/jobs,
we have a full list in virtually every department, I believe, talent acquisition and graphic designing, video specialists, people working on our social team. There's so many different jobs that we have open for you guys. So go there, check it out and see if it fits your specialty or your expertise and send us a resume.
Yes, please. We need more bandwidth on our teams for people to cut up clips and manage our channel clearly because
Indeed.
I'm struggling as it is. So please
We're on the
apply.
Struggle bus.
Join the fight here in beautiful Los Angeles. Let's see. Amala, who's your favorite Hunger Games character?
Ah! Will Terrible. Shaking his head, even though I've defended Hunger Games to the fullest extent and with very valid points. My favorite Hunger Games character is Peeta Mellark, a man who stood by his morals and his values throughout the entire series, except, actually I won't spoil it, but throughout the entire series, except when it was not his choice to do so against his will. So I will say very, very nice guy, stuck to his moral character, great, just all-encompassing, well-rounded character writing for him, favorite character.
And then next up is Will and Taylor, who are your favorite Lord of the Rings characters?
There we go.
I just want to say one thing that I have to point out. I said Nazism. I'm going to say Nazism when I was speaking before. Grammatically incorrect.
Okay.
So just putting that
Thank
out
you for
Don't
that.
Worry, guys. He is smart.
I have to put that out there and make sure. Favorite Lord of the Rings character in the movies or the books? If it's the books, I really like the story of Beren. Beren would be my favorite Lord of the Rings character.
Oh, wow. Deep dive.
Yeah, Silmarillion stuff. But Baron is my favorite character.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really think this is a tough one, but how do you not like, I'm not going to overthink it and try to be fancy. Aragorn is just, he's archetypally just awesome hero journey, but it's either Ranger, become who you've born to be. He put in the work, the years, but always had that greatness inside of him, and when he rose up to the moment. So it's just a great archetype of the hero, and I mean, you can't beat it. So
awesome. A great character choice.
Thank you.
Okay.
Oh, I put it back on Amla. Like, she's going to, I'm used to Amla like leading the show. And like, yeah. Oh, what's our next thing?
That normally is my job.
Let's see. This one's for Taylor. What college teams do you root for? I graduated from LSU, so I'm an LSU Tiger fan.
Go Tigers.
Go Tigers. I grew up an Oklahoma Sooner fan, so they're kind of my second. And then my wife is a Georgia Bulldog, and so I've kind of been grafted into that. So SEC, baby.
Nice.
Slow Down Studio. Oh, I've done two from them. I gotta
slow down.
slow down on the slow down questions. Gosh,
I saw one question that said, it was from Esther. She said, "Do you think that women should be in the military at all?" Which, funny enough, was something that we were discussing before the show started. My answer to that is yes. However, if you are a woman who wants to join the military, you have to meet male requirements. And what we've done with our military thus far is to lower the standards, the threshold for entry for women, so that they can be in the military, which is something you should not do. If you're going to be in the military, you have to know that you're capable. You're just as capable as your fellow man. So you have to meet male standards. And I'm sure there are women who can do that. And by all means, those women who can do that and want to join the military should do so. But you just have to meet the standards. It's my only thing.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Gosh.
I know I'm probably, people in the comments are going to give me crap for this one. I know.
Goodness gracious.
But I don't really care. I don't think that women should be in combat roles in the military. Intelligence, something you want to do? Totally fine. There's lots of roles for women in wartime and things that women should and can do, of course. But combat roles should be for men. I think that that is how it's historically always been. You don't draft women to go fight your wars for you. It should be, the battlefield is for men.
Taylor,
anything? Oh, what's my opinion? I agree with Amla.
Okay.
Okay, What is your favorite trip for Will Anomala that you guys have done together, or like a project?
What have we done? Oh, police ride along, 100%.
Yeah, that one was pretty great.
100%.
Probably the police ride along.
Yeah, opened up my entire, like, changed my worldview on that particular issue. Even going into it as somebody who had a strong support for police officers, you do not understand what it is they do, the bad things and the good things, until you've done something like that and you build a stronger relationship with them. Yep.
Yeah, that was great.
Same.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah, we should cut a clip of you guys going through the police, simulation of when Amla shoots a guy. And,
yeah.
Well, you both of you shot a guy that was defenseless.
That is true. But Will shot them wrongfully. I shot the person rightfully.
They deserved it.
Got killed by his buddy.
Yeah, I shot a guy who was had robbed a store or something and was trying to shoot me, so I shot him. And then when I thought, I put my defenses down because I thought, I got the bad guy. And then there was another guy in the getaway car who shot me with a shotgun, and then I died. Right. It's really unfortunate.
Someone just asked if we're doing any more vlogs. We released one, a brand new one today. So
yes, we did.
If you didn't see that, we teased it earlier in the show. But it's available on Facebook now. It'll be up on the website probably tomorrow. It's on Instagram as well. People are mad at us for posting it today because of everything going on. But alas, that was the schedule.
Tis out of our hands.
Yeah. Andy asks, and this is a interesting one, but pretty easy answer, I think, for both of you. Do you think it is wrong to have strong conservative values but not believe in God?
Ha, no. Yeah, no, definitely not. Because I am a conservative who happens to not be a believer, I guess is the term for it. So no. Hi. Will, any thoughts? You might disagree.
Yeah, I strongly disagree.
I know.
Yes, I do. I think that conservatism and much of what real conservatism, we're not talking about republicanism. We're not talking about GOP. We're talking about conservatism and what conservatism represents comes from biblical standards. We're not talking about tax policy.
Negative.
We're not talking about, economics. We're talking about conservatism as traditional Western Christian values that made Western culture. That is what you are trying to conserve. And these things go hand in hand. Conservatism goes hand in hand with Christianity. And if you believe in Christianity and you know that the Bible is truth and God's word is truth, then you understand that your values come from a place of absolute truth and are not just up for debate that leftism could be right, conservatism could be right. No, conservatism is right because much of conservatism in its original form is ordained by God. And so that is why I think that you can have conservative views and be atheist, of course. You can believe these types of things. But where it comes from is no doubt from a Christian perspective, the values that made America, the values that made the West, the best values in the world.
And as usual, I'm pretty much in between. I agree with Amala, even though I'm a Christian like Will. So, but we'll leave the rest of that discussion for another day.
Yeah, that's an hours long discussion that we could get into on that.
Which would be fun. But all right.
Without Christianity, wouldn't have the world that we have now. There's just no denial of that. You can at least admit that.
That what?
That without Christianity, we wouldn't have Western culture.
I think it's debatable. I think it's something that we can discuss. I'm not going to put myself in the hot seat right now for this.
But you would admit that Christianity made the West. Without Christianity, without what they did.
Debatable for so many reasons.
What made the West then?
There's so many like a lot of the founding fathers were not even Christian and did not believe that Christian values had any stake in the development
of
America.
Inalienable rights given to you by God.
Given to you by your creator. Which does not stipulate a God.
It is God.
It stipulates a creator so that people know that the government cannot take that away from you. And if they meant God, they would have written God. But we're not going to get into this right now.
That is what
it's a long discussion. If they meant God, why not write given to you by God?
Your creator means God. That is in the context that it is.
Why put it in context when you can simply say given to you by your Christian God? Instead, they wrote given to you. Endowed to you by your creator.
I mean, look, they make you swear on a Bible in court. There are reasons for these things. I mean, you go back to the founding of this country. This country was founded on Christian values.
A lot of these things were added in post, like in God We Trust, or even the God, a part of the Pledge of Allegiance was added in post, way far past our founding. So it is certainly debatable that Christianity is the premise or the basis for the founding of America, but we can
go past America. I mean, you go past America, which still I stand strong on my stance that America is built on a Christian nation. You go back and even look at Western Europe throughout the ages.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Roman Empire, going through the Dark Ages, going through everything up until the Enlightenment was built on Christianity.
Sure. No, I will give you that. But a lot of people use that to say, oh, America would not exist. The ideas that founded America would not exist without Christianity. And
they would
I don't
not.
Think that
there's
that is
no
true.
There's no doubt that they would not.
Whatsoever. Well, clearly without, there's doubt.
Well, because, no, you can have doubt. But without Christianity, America would not exist.
Debatable. But
That's why slavery was abolished in America, because of the Bible.
I mean, you can say that that was an influence, absolutely. But there are people who were non-believers who believed that slavery should end and be abolished as well. So to completely hinge something like that on the basis of Christianity is false. And to hinge conservative values on the basis of Christianity is also false, as there are many people, including some of the founders of our country, that were non-believers who still had, quote-unquote, what are today's conservative values. But do we want to spend more time talking about it?
The founding fathers were more religious than you think.
Some of them were very religious, which if they meant to communicate to you that your unalienable rights were given to you by God, they would have written that your unalienable rights were given to you by God. There's a very specific reason. And they were all very meticulous in every single word that they wrote and every single word that they put forth for us for the future. If they wanted that to be the known truth for America, they would have written that your unalienable rights were given to you by God. Why say creator instead of God?
Because it means the same thing. I mean, it's the same thing.
It does not mean the same thing.
It does mean the same thing.
And it is up for the fact that people interpret God differently and have different religious beliefs. I think creator is a very smart way to put that your rights are not given to you by your government. And you can say creator
in
whatever...
Your rights are given to you by God. That's what they intended with that.
But they did not. No, who that is not written.
Who gives you the rights then?
your creator, which is a very all-encompassing term for whatever it is that you believe to be your creation. So that could be virtually anything.
Well, they are writing it for Muslims. They were writing it for who?
Well,
they were writing it for
America,
Christians.
America was founded on a set of ideas as a country that would encompass people of all different types of religions. If they meant God.
Where do you
God,
think the Bill of Rights came from? Why do you think they made those certain laws? Because of Christianity and because of Europe having those laws throughout time that are Christian
I'm
laws.
I'm just saying I disagree.
But it's just not true.
But if they meant God, they would have written God. Is all that I'm
creator
saying.
Creator means God.
There's no doubt. It does not mean God. And if they meant to write God, they would have written your Christian God. And that's why several founders were non-believers and signed off on the term creator
just
being
because
used.
There were differences between their belief systems does not mean that America wasn't founded on Christianity.
If you have a founder who is a non-believer in God, why would he write that your inalienable rights were given to you by God? And he didn't. That's exactly. They did not write that. They wrote that your inalienable rights were given to you by your creator, which is a term that is clearly up for interpretation. And
it is not up for interpretation.
It really is up for interpretation.
I don't know.
Which is why we have a country
historian.
Of all different types of religions and ideas and belief systems.
The founding fathers never intended that the people were not religious people. You can do freedom. They give you the freedom to do whatever you want, but they did not intend that people would not.
No,
be
several
Christian.
Several founders said that religion is most important to the way that this country runs. They did not stipulate what religion was most important to the way that this country runs, which is why things like "In God We Trust" were added in post to the way that our country runs and our Pledge of Allegiance.
But what
act
religions
of God.
Were our founding fathers? They weren't Jewish. They weren't Muslim. They weren't Scientologists. They were Christians.
Yeah, but there were also non-believers among them. Or deist, yeah.
Right, so. But if you're talking about these things being added in post,
all I'm
we're
saying
talking
is
about
if
Christianity,
we can acknowledge that our founding fathers
came from Europe.
Are we going to keep talking about this? I don't think our
Taylor mediate, fix it. I'm like, what do you want me to
I'm
do?
I'm sure
here?
Taylor, you agree with Will on this as a Christian
to
man
to an extent. Yeah, I don't know,
but
I think
we
should move on.
Yeah, we acknowledge how meticulous our founding fathers are, yet interpret their words, the use of the term creator, to mean God, when clearly if they meant God or Christian God, they would have stipulated that, be it in the Bill of Rights or in the Declaration of Independence, and it was not stipulated. But
creator's
that's
used
my thought.
In the Bible. Creator is used in the Bible to mean God.
Creator is used among other religions as well, and also creator is sort of what is an ambiguous term. That, again, if you want to take power away from a government and say that the government is not going to be able to take away your rights, what other power would you place that in? Of course, a creator. Again, if you mean God, say God. But there are different interpretations
but it uses
of creator
and Bible interchangeably, and creator and God interchangeably in the Bible.
And so
mean
do many other
thing.
Religions.
But
many
it doesn't
other
matter
religions
if it's
use
other
creator.
Religions. If it's in, you, they
it
use
does.
It the same in the Bible.
It does matter. They could just say God, Christian God specifically.
But the Bible also says creator.
There
that's what I'm
no,
saying.
There's no stipulation that Christianity and God are foundational.
So you don't think America was founded on Judeo-Christian values?
I think in some way, shape, or form it is influenced, but I don't think that your rights are, obviously I don't think that your rights are given to you by God. I can go ahead and put that out there clearly because I'm a non-believer. But yeah, those are my thoughts.
What do you think gives you the rights then?
Well, I think your rights were given to you by the founders who wrote them into be, but in order to give you the sense that they can't be taken away, they wrote in given to you by your creator. So it's like asking who did Thomas Jefferson think gave you your rights because he was a non-believer.
Thomas Jefferson said that there should be a Bible in every single public school in America if you were ever to have a public school.
But he also does not believe.
That's just not true. They say that Thomas Jefferson wasn't a believer, but it's just not backed up. I know the historians, people will say that, but many historians say he was a believer.
There were several men who were very pivotal to our founding who did not believe in a Christian God. I think that's known as fact. I don't think we need to discuss it any further. But I don't believe, obviously I don't believe that your rights are given to you by God. So, you know,
firm disbelief.
Tis just
there.
Me.
I don't know where else you would get your beliefs, your rights from.
I don't know what you mean.
Because it would just mean that it's all up for debate. It's all interpretation.
You can write that your government can't take away your rights, and it's not up for interpretation.
But the reason why your rights don't get taken away is because they are inalienable, not because your government allows you to.
That's kind of what you see in the Canada and Australia right now too. Like their constitutions say your rights come from the government, essentially.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I don't
say your rights come from the government versus your rights come from God. Your rights can't be taken away if they come from God. If your rights come from the government, they can be taken away at any point.
But that doesn't mean that you are meant to believe in God simply because somebody says that your rights are given to you by God. And again, they don't say that. They say your rights are given to you by your creator, which does not stipulate a God.
But it's still like, what are the idea of natural rights grounded in then?
That they are your natural right. You don't have to have a God to believe in a natural right. And I think writing in creator is a protection.
Said your natural right is to have your heart ripped out and eaten by someone. That's what their government said.
Yeah, so what does that... I don't understand
it's
how that's an
that
argument
if your government
here.
Comes and says that this is where you get your rights from, or you get it from your government, they can take it away at any point. It's all subjective.
But I'm not saying that you're right, that your rights are given to you by your government. I'm saying that the founding fathers were very smart in using the terminology that your rights are given to you by a creator, because you don't want to stipulate that your rights are given to you by your government. I think that you can have natural rights without some sort of all-ordaining God to give you those rights, which is what most people who are atheist or agnostic, as myself, believe. And they still believe that they have rights. It doesn't have to be given to you by a God in order for you to have them.
Australians believe they have rights. The atheist Canadians.
Yes, but it's not written into their declaration and their constitution and their bill of rights that they are ordained to you by a creator. It does not stipulate what creator. And it's a very smart way to write that so that the government knows they cannot take those rights away from you. And there's plenty of people of different religious beliefs who were pivotal to the founding, who approved of the writing of creator instead of Christian God.
Are there examples of non-Christian societies that have natural rights in history?
I do not know.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Because I think the founders clearly drew from the Judeo-Christian idea of, like, you know, people are made in the image of God, have infinite value of worth because of that, have free will, from like the Genesis story of Adam and Eve in the garden and God placing a tree in there to give them free will and not making robots. And that extends to like people not having to do what the government tells them to do by tyranny. That's kind of where that idea comes from. That's how deep it is. And so anyway, that's the thing that I don't think you need to have an active like belief in Christianity to appreciate natural rights, but I think you have to sort of acknowledge that they are that the idea of natural rights themselves are grounded in that that Judeo-Christian idea. But anyway, we can move on.
Please.
All right.
For the love of God, I guess.
for the love of God. Yes. Someone said, if you could live anywhere in America and keep your current job, this is Rachel, where would you live?
Wait, what was the question?
If you could live anywhere in America and keep your current job, where would you live?
Florida. Florida.
Yeah, I'd probably go back home.
Florida. Yeah, I'm what part of Florida? I'm team like Gulf region, but because it's so far down there in Miami and stuff. But mm-hmm. where in Florida would you want
Tampa.
To be?
Tampa.
Tampa.
Amala? Love Tampa.
Just hometown?
No, not my hometown. So boring. Maybe like South Beach, Miami, like the nicer area.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
All right. I would actually probably pick Nashville because I have family there and stuff. But
Nashville, you said?
Yeah. Favorite place to eat in L.A.?
Paquito Mas. My favorite. Mexican food is my favorite food.
Just like a local chain, right? There's a bunch of them around here.
Yeah, there's like four or five, I think.
All right. Amla?
Summer Buffalo, Thai place. That's my answer. 10 out of 10.
Summer. Wait, what about your Nigerian place that you get food from all the time?
Oh, also that, okay, yeah. Toto's African Cuisine, also amazing. And the woman and her husband who run that restaurant, so sweet and so kind. Yeah, so actually, you're right, Taylor. That's a better answer.
Yeah, my answer is there's a place called Massilia in Santa Monica that I love. It's like a French Moroccan place, and Killer Noodle, which is
Killer Noodle's been, great.
Yeah,
I love Killer Noodle.
You pick your level of spiciness and the special kind of ramen. It's like dandan noodles meets ramen, and you pick your level of numbness too, because they have like the Sichuan stuff that numbs your tongue when you eat it too. So anyway, but it's just an amazing flavor and awesome noodles. All right,
and do one more.
Sure. I mean, if you guys want to pick one more, someone asked, "What's your favorite pizza company?" If you're gonna order pizza from somewhere.
Favorite pizza?
Yeah.
There's this place called Best Effing Pizza in Silver Lake. Best pizza in LA. So definitely there.
Best Effing Pizza in
LA? Yeah.
It's a garage pizza in LA. Really good. Very good bacon on their pizza.
You know, LA's pizza game is like notoriously weak, but you can find some good stuff here.
They have lots of good pizza in LA.
Yeah.
I love pizza. It's like my favorite food. Whole Foods pizza is the best. I love Whole Foods pizza.
I've never had Whole Foods pizza.
It's fantastic.
That I can think of.
I had it a lot in college, and I because it was like a cheap meal that was like healthy because it's from Whole Foods, but not exactly. Any debates with the left soon, live or recorded?
Yeah, we'll have one of my videos coming out where I debated this guy pretty soon. So that should be up on PragerU probably next week.
I did sort of a debate. It was more of a discussion with Mark Lamont Hill about critical race theory. You guys can look that up. Mark Lamont Hill of the Black News Network or the Black News Channel, something like that. So that's on YouTube somewhere, and you guys can go check it out.
We talked about doing a new segment, too, on Wednesdays called The Civil Discourse, in which we debate among ourselves and or bring on people from the outside to debate. So I would love to let us know if you think that's a good idea.
You guys seem to love it when Will and I argue.
They do love it. They very much love it.
It's interesting. It's like I think there's people who agree with both of you. I made a poll, and I think it was like 70-30 with Will,
but that's
to be expected.
To be expected.
In a conservative audience.
Of course it's to be expected.
But, you know, everyone's falls somewhere, and I think they find themselves somewhere on the spectrum of your arguments, and I think that's what makes the show interesting. So,
good job, so guys. Let us know if you want Will and I to argue every Wednesday.
Every day.
For your viewing pleasure.
Every single day.
I think it'd be fun to bring outside people, too. Like, I don't know, there's some people out there that are kind of centrist who could
hold
yeah, for it. Sure.
The point is civil discourse. It's not, like radical leftists, you're probably not going to find a very productive conversation, but if you could get someone who's more in the middle, it'd be good. All right. You guys see any final questions? I think we should do one more. Let's see. Will, you can ask yourself a question if you want.
Will, ask yourself one. I feel like there's no...
I don't want to just randomly pick one.
What podcast would you ever like to make a guest appearance on? I have an immediate answer for this. I love and have been obsessed with for like the past couple of weeks, just like delving into Russell Brand. I would love to be on his show. I watch his videos every day now, and he's just so articulate. And people give him credit now. He's got like 5 million subscribers, but I feel like people do not give Russell Brand enough credit for how he views these situations and how he articulates his views on situations and just his lifestyle and how compassionate and empathetic he is, but still so strong in his beliefs and what he thinks. Russell Brand, I would love to be on his show. Anybody else?
Joe Rogan.
Mm. Joe Rogan's a good one.
Of course, everyone gets to see it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, everyone gets to see it.
That's purely really for the viewership. Enjoy the podcast or would just like enjoy being
I'd say Tucker Carlson's daytime podcast that he does on Fox Nation.
Mm. Nice.
Yeah.
I thought you'd say War Room.
Been on War Room before.
Yeah.
So
Tyler?
Yeah, Tucker Carlson's daytime podcast.
I mean, I'm Rogan too, but I mean, I just love his show and it'd be awesome to talk to him. But I listened to a Minnesota Vikings podcast that I have to for years. These guys that are there in Minneapolis, and I would love to give my hot takes on everything. So that'd probably be good too. Yeah.
Nice. Is that the end of our Q&A for today?
I think so. I think we wore ourselves and everyone else out.
Yes, I think so.
Thank you guys so much for watching on the Will and Amala Live channel. We're here exclusively for you, so make sure you subscribe, and we'll have other exclusive Q&As on this channel for you guys in the future, so make sure you're following. You've got the subscription, the notification bell turned on. You leave a comment down below. What should they comment down below? What podcast would you like to be on in the future? Who are you guys fans of? Maybe it's something we haven't heard of before, and we will go and check it out. So comment down below after the stream ends. Thank you guys so much for watching. We will be back tomorrow with some fun, fresh hot takes at 2:30 Pacific, 5:30 Eastern, and we will see you then. Bye, guys.
Peace.